Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Elissa Walker Campbell, want to welcome you in to the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are so glad you've made it a point to join us on this Friday night. Before we get underway, remember, you can always listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store, and you can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Remember, normal data rates apply. And big things going on here at YSR. I'm going to be packing my bags with the guys heading to Las Vegas. We want to encourage you to go to YSRSuperWeek.com. One lucky listener from my show will be joining us at the Palazzo for 3 days and two nights in July. So you want to sign up and enter to win. We're going to kick things off tonight. We're going to have some, go around the horn, go talk some MLB with my man. We have missed him. He's not been around for the past couple of weeks, was on vacation. We had all the flooding. Andy Pondillo, first time to kick off the show. It's good to have you back, Andy. You look great.
Well, it's exciting to be here, and it's good that we made it through those floods, so everything's well in Houston.
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. So, you know, before we talk some MLB, I know the finals got underway on Thursday night. What are you looking for? What intrigues you the most about this series between the Cavs and the Warriors, Andy?
Well, it's an interesting concept when you get Stephen Curry versus LeBron James. You have two of the biggest superstars facing off versus one another. The NBA is a superstar league, so you know that's going to draw ratings, and that's what it's all about. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun for the fans, a lot of people to see those all-star matchups, the ones they drop in their head. I guess when it comes to an NBA fan, they'd want to see Kevin Love in this, and I feel like they've been a little cheated by that injury, but oh well.
Well, on tonight's show, we will be talking about that. Kevin Love, he really hasn't made that difference. I'm not sure that the Cavs have actually even missed him, Andy.
It's just all about the name power. More names, more people. That's how the NBA works.
But what about those rookie coaches? I mean, here you got two coaches that have never been in the finals before.
Well, that's if David Blatt's really coaching a team. Is it LeBron James coaching a team, or is it David Blatt coaching a team? But it's always an intriguing storyline to get a couple first-year coaches squaring off. That definitely brings hope to a first-year coach that goes to another organization that he could be the next guy that makes a huge jump.
Okay, Andy Pondillo is helping us start things off. He's our leadoff man tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And how about the Houston Astros? I think you are, Andy, ever since we've been talking about him, you're like the lucky charm. So they continue to lead the AL West, but I mean, what moves do you think that they need to be made in order to keep them on top?
Now, the Astros are an interesting team because a lot of the national pundits are going to say that the later winning games may not be the way they can continue to keep winning games come August. The offense, very home run dependent. They lead Major League Baseball in home runs, and it's been a lot of fun to watch them just bash the ball all over the field. They say power hitters go into slumps. That is true. We have seen some really dramatic slumps from this team. We've seen Springer have an awful start to the season. We've seen Gattis have an awful month for his first month as an Astro. But yet, the team still, they still scored quite a bit of runs. If it's not Gattis hitting a home run, it's Valbuena. If it's not Valbuena, it's Springer. If it's not anybody in the main core of the middle of the order, you're going to have Jason Castro at the bottom knocking one out. Jake Mariznick was a huge contributor in the nine hole at the beginning of the year. So you're getting contributions from everyone. That leads me to believe that this offense may actually be for real. And with Carlos Correa, you know, just right now getting so close coming to the major leagues, they've bumped him up to AAA. They don't necessarily have to go get another hitter when maybe the best hitter is waiting in AAA. Already seen it with Preston Tucker. He's come to the Astros from the minor leagues. He's batting third now. So the impact players offensively may not be on other organizations. They may be on this roster already, just waiting to mature and be that type of major league hitter in the middle of the order. As for the pitching, they're going to have to make a move in the starting rotation. If they want to get a starter, they can get any starter they want. They have the best farm system in all of baseball. They can match any team trade for trade. And it just depends. Do they want to give up mid-level, top-level prospects to get a starter? I think they're going to get a starting pitcher. Now, will they get the starting pitcher? I'm not sure yet.
Oh, and how about Cole Hamels? I mean, he continues to be tossed around as far as going to Houston. I mean, is this your guy?
I think that's got to be the guy. If you're going to go all in this year, you're going to do it for Cole Hamels. You're not going to do it for Johnny Cueto. That's the other name you hear tossed around, but he's a guy you're only going to get for a rental. You don't want to make a big trade, a big splash right now, unless you're getting a guy like Cole, who has $90 million left on his contract. He has 3 years left on his contract. really, you're going to get the Phillies to pay for a lot of this deal. They're not getting rid of Cole Hamels unless they're going to pay some of the money off of it. So let's just say you get him for 3 years, $60 million, or 3 years, $50 million, or something of that figure. It's actually a discount for what you're going to go and sign next season. Next season, you have David Price on the market. Cueto hits the market. Jordan Zimmerman hits the market. These guys are going to make $180 million. They're going to make 6 years, 7 years under contracts. That's a risk to take for a pitcher. I think the Astros are in a good position to where they can match, again, any team prospect for prospect in order to make a deal. It's going to come at a very steep price to get a guy like Cole Hamels. If you do get him, you put Hamels, you put Keuchel at the top of the rotation, those two left-handers. There is not another team in the American League that can match that.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking earlier, Andy, that the team factor has been a huge asset for the Astros. I mean, including, you know, bench players. It's all hands on deck. When you bring in someone like, perhaps, hypothetically, a Cole Hamels, I mean, how long will it take for him to get comfortable, make that transition, and to be able to fit in?
I feel like immediately. I think that his numbers may blossom, or they go up a little bit, because the AL West, I feel like it's a more difficult division to pitch in than the NL East is right now. However, I don't expect it to change very much. Cole is a proven winner, a World Series champion. He's done it in postseason play, and he's been awfully consistent. You look at his numbers year in and year out, the ERA, the wins, those are subjective of what type of team you're on. But what's not subjective are the innings pitched. This guy, even for losing teams, he's pitched 215, 220 innings. He is absolutely consistent, a workhorse. You put him behind Keuchel, it makes everybody better in this rotation. It makes the bullpen better because the bullpen's not going to get taxed as much. And when you look at playoff rotations, it's all everybody talks about once you get to postseason plays, that starting pitching. It just doesn't get better than that. I think that he would fit in perfectly with this clubhouse, and I'd hope this would be a place he'd want to come join for the next three seasons.
Oh, our very own Andy Pondillo giving us some MLB news and notes right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Great way to kick off tonight's show, and we are so glad that you have made a point to join us over the next 2 hours. Quickly, Andy, tell the listeners across the country where they can check you out.
They can find me on climbingtowershill.com. Astro Chat is the name of the podcast.
Okay, so we are out in the AL West. We're in our backyard. We're talking about the Houston Astros, obviously the hottest team in baseball. And one of the things, and one of the storylines, comeback victories are common. And it just seems like this team, they're not intimidated by anybody. They're going to keep grinding it out and finding a way to make it happen.
The thing I go back to this season, I go back to a Padres series. They're in San Diego. Padres are a team that a lot of people thought are going to the playoffs, could win the NL West, could dethrone the World Series champions last year, San Francisco Giants. Maybe not as good as a lot of people thought they were, but the Astros go and they sweep the Padres. And in the final game, they blew up Craig Kimbrell. And nobody, I mean, there is nobody that blows up Craig Kimbrell. This guy is about as automatic of a closer as we've seen in baseball. The Astros went in, got him out of the game. He couldn't even get three outs. And they have done this to a number of relief pitchers now, where maybe they go six innings and they look awful. They get two or three hits. People start to wonder, are these the real Astros? And then all of a sudden they blow a guy up for four or five runs late in the game. I think there are a lot of fastball hitters in this lineup. They can hit the long ball. You throw 98. You better locate it on this team, because if they catch one, all of a sudden it's a three-run swing with the amount of power that they possess in this lineup. It's a lineup that I feel is built perfectly to hit relief pitching. And I don't know if I've ever said that with a team, because the way relief pitching is specialized now, they tend to come in and just shut teams down when you have a good bullpen. But when they come in to face the Astros, you have to be almost absolutely perfect. For whatever reason, they're a little more locked in the seventh and eighth inning. They seem to get those runners home from third a lot better in the seventh and eighth inning. And maybe they need a punch to the gut every so often. Maybe it wakes that offense up. And every single time, it's not just that. It's even when they lose two or three games in a row. Everyone wants to start to think that maybe this team's starting to slow down a little bit. Maybe they'll come back to reality. And every time that happens, they win three or four more right after that. So they keep answering. They answer in games. They answer in series. It's been fun to watch. And, you know, even for me, for a guy that was higher on the Astros than most, it's been quite surprising this year.
Okay, we're getting ready to go to commercial break. But I got to ask you this. I mean, you're a baseball guy. You spend a lot of time over there. What's the vibe like now? How different is it this year as opposed to the past couple of years?
Oh, it's a party. When they win games at the end of the day, it's a party over there. I mean, these guys are pumped after they get their wins, but they also know it's a long season. A.J. Hinch has done a great job uniting this team, really bringing this team together. And what's even more notable is when they do lose a tough game, these guys, it's not a thing where, okay, we won the series, it's okay. No, it's not okay. When they lose games, these guys are upset. And I haven't seen that before. It's that competitive mentality.
It's pride.
And they want to go out there and win every single game. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but they make no excuses, and I like what I see from that team.
Oh, great stuff. Andy Pondillo with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break. More Houston Astros talk out in the AL West after this quick break. The fastest 2 hours in radio continues right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Elissa Walker Campbell, love to hear from you. You can email us at elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. Great way we're kicking off our show tonight, of course. Andy Pondillo is back with us. He took a little vacation, giving us the skinny on the MLB and, of course, his Houston Astros. One of the questions I want to talk to you about was Evan Gattis. I mean, he's become an RBI machine. He's exactly what they traded for. I mean, did you anticipate that he would have this amount of success?
He's a product of the lineup. The lineup has been very consistent. That's given him a lot of RBI opportunities. And I felt like that's what this lineup would be. It was a powerful lineup. It was a lineup in which you have Altuve who can get on base, George Springer. Even though he hasn't hit as high as he wanted to, he has done a good job of getting on base. With Preston Tucker also coming up from the minor leagues, has done a great job. So you have three guys who get on base, plays in perfectly to Gattis. Gattis is a great RBI man. He's the type of guy that plays into a system. You need to put him in a good lineup where he can drive runs in. If he's the sole offensive provider, he may come up a little short on base percentages and all that great. He is doing exactly, though, what they paid him to do, and he's driving in a ton of runs. I'm very happy with the production they've gotten out of Gattis. And once Carlos Correa comes up, you add him to the middle of the order, that's going to be even another guy that he could possibly drive in. So I think he fits in well with this order.
What's your assessment of the season that George Springer is having? You said earlier he got off to a little bit of a slow start. Where do you see him at here the first weekend in June?
He's now batting leadoff, which is interesting, but that's the type of hitter he's been this year. He's done an excellent job of drawing walks. He's done an excellent job of stealing bases. Not hitting for the type of power we thought he would this season. 8 home runs, nothing to be ashamed about. I mean, it's just not that explosive guy that a lot of people thought they would see. Nonetheless, he's been a quality hitter at times, and the 220, 230 average he possesses right now is not pretty. But just a couple weeks ago, it was at 190, so he's starting to come back, starting to come up. He seems to enjoy that leadoff position. I feel like that's going to be a fit for him as they go on through this season. So far, it's kind of a mixed bag from Springer, but the fact the on-base percentage is high, that's important.
I was going to say, what's your confidence level in him?
I feel like he needs to get more confident on hitting fastballs. There's been times this season where he's just taking too many pitches. He's definitely made it a point where he's going to get on base more, and that's what bumped him to the leadoff position outside of being in the middle of the order, because he just wasn't driving in enough runs in the middle of the order. I think it's progression in his game. He's not that complete hitter yet. He can be. And again, it's a long season here. They're only one-third of the way through, so I feel like George Springer can still have a very nice year. He's got elements to his game that have been very positive this season.
Okay, glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Elissa Walker-Campbell guiding you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. We've got Andy Pondillo leading things off, talking some MLB, and Dallas Keuchel, the number one reason why the Houston Astros can be dangerous. In your mind, is he the best pitcher in the league?
Oh, he is the best pitcher. The last year and a half, he's the best pitcher in all of baseball, in my opinion. Kershaw's come down to earth a little bit this year. He'll probably come back, but right now, there is nobody better than Dallas Keuchel. Two back-to-back month AL Pitcher of the Month awards. He looks like the guy that should be starting for the American League in the All-Star game this year. He surpassed Felix Hernandez. He surpassed Chris Sale in numbers. It's absolutely nuts. He has gotten light years better than he was last year. And last year, he possessed one of the best ERAs in the game. So there's not much more I could say, but this guy is as good with his control as I've seen any left-hander on the mound in quite some time. Where he wants the ball to go, it goes. He changes speeds quite well. And, you know, the league, they made an adjustment to him after last year. When a pitcher does so well like he did out of nowhere last season, everybody's going to have the scouting report. They're going to make their adjustments. He's made their adjustments to them. He's been very successful at that.
Can you only imagine? You talk about hypotheticals. We were talking about this in our earlier segment, Dallas Keuchel and Cole Hamels. I mean, you talk about a 1-2 punch. Oh, that's formidable.
That's as good as it's going to get.
You bet.
Right there. Two left-handers. He run that out in a postseason series if the Astros made it. Nobody would want to face them in a division series with that. So you've got to think Jeff Luhnow knows that, and Jeff Luhnow is going to do as much as he can to try and bring that dynamic combination to Houston. Because right now, it's basically Keuchel and a lot of guys that could be good or doing okay, and Lance McCullers, who's the youngster, 21 years old. He's done awesome for the Astros so far, yet you can't really depend on a 21-year-old to try and lead the staff. So Dallas Keuchel definitely could use a Robin or a co-Batman in that rotation.
Okay, only got about a minute left with Andy Pondillo. Talk to me about the Astros. I mean, is this a championship team? What are we talking about here, Andy?
Championship is a strong word. It's hard to say that, but they definitely have the makings of being the Cinderella team this year. A.J. Hinch is manager of the year if this team wins 85 games. To me, he's already manager of the year for how much losing the Astros have done. Anything above 500 was going to be considered a success this season. Now people want to win the AL West. So I'm going to try to be realistic. I want them to just get into the playoffs. And then we'll see from there. This team is still very young. They still have a lot that they have to prove. A 162-game season is a long time.
Okay. Talking the AL West, the Houston Astros, and, of course, with our very own Andy Pondillo. So great that you were able to stop by. Thanks so much, Andy.
Always fun.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight in Hour 1 of the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. You can just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to StreamYSR.com. That's StreamYSR.com. Remember, normal data rates apply. Well, right now we're going to shift gears. We're going to have some NBA news and notes. We're going to do a full season retrospective and recap on the San Antonio Spurs. It was an up and down season and led to an early playoff exit, and always a pleasure to welcome back Jeff Garcia. He is an NBA blogger. He covers the Spurs with Project Spurs. Nice to have you back with us, Jeff.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, I hope you're staying dry there in San Antonio. We've obviously had some crazy weather here in Houston, but fortunately, we're drying out.
Yeah, definitely. No, San Antonio got hit with some weather down here, but I heard Houston got really smacked up pretty well, much like the Spurs season.
Ah, well, it was crazy. So let's talk about the Spurs season. Let's do the 2014-2015 recap. The roller coaster ride, it comes to an end. How would you summarize how this script, how the narrative, how it played out?
I think it would, if I had to pick one word, I would say bittersweet. And the way I say that is because a lot of the stuff that was out of their control early on in the season, the injuries to Parker, you know, Manu Ginobili just not Manu Ginobili anymore, him dealing with aches and pains. You know, Kawhi Leonard was out for a good chunk of time with a hand injury and an eye infection. Mm-hmm. So they kind of had Thiago Splitter with his calf, back issues. So it was just they really couldn't get a lot of the rhythm going. And when they finally got the rhythm going, that's when they went on that double-digit winning streak towards the end of the season. You know, they even beat up Golden State in the regular season, and they were looking primed to make another deep run. But they just simply could not get the job done towards the end of the season and even during the postseason. Losses to New York, losses to Detroit, losses to L.A. in San Antonio. Those losses finally crept up on them, and all they needed was just one win, just one extra win down the stretch to get that higher seed, the 2 or 3 seed. And I think they might have been still playing right now. They did not close it out against the Pelicans. They drew the worst possible matchup for their squad, the Clippers. And as much as they made it a fight and fight to the bitter end, 7-game series, it just fizzled out. You know, what was surprising to me was that a lot of the chemistry issues that you would not think that was going to be there, because they brought practically the same team from last season's championship run, showed. You know, Baines was getting a lot more run. So he had to develop quicker into the system, especially when Splitter was out. Patty Mills, you know, he seems to me he played better with a busted shoulder than he did with a repaired shoulder last season. He just couldn't find his rhythm, although in the postseason he arguably was one of the better players for San Antonio. Danny Green, you know, where did he go? You know, remember there was chatter during the NBA Finals last season that he might be MVP for the Finals, uh-huh. And then, you know, where was that? He performed, he just went cold. So all in all, it was just bittersweet. It was good to see the team back, make that championship push.
Hey, the NBA Finals are underway, but we are pausing. We are doing a full season retrospective on the San Antonio Spurs. Of course, our guest tonight is Jeff Garcia with Project Spurs, and he was summarizing this season that it was bittersweet. So let me ask you this. I mean, do you consider it just a disappointment that they underachieved?
Yeah, I think it was. And plus, too, you know, that elusive defense of the title once again slips through their fingers. I think that as a franchise will haunt them as far as whenever they think about the great dynasties of the NBA, never defending it. That was kind of, I was hoping that one day in my lifetime see that, and it looks like it may not happen now. Underachieving, yes, they did. Again, I go back to just really dumb losses during the season that came back to bite them in the rear towards the end of the season. Again, I point to the big one, that being New York. I mean, there was no reason for them to go into New York and drop a game they needed to win. And I know a lot of fans and a lot of, especially Pop, and during that press game, pregame media and postgame saying, oh, loss is the loss. You know, what happens, you lose. But this time it really did come back to haunt them, and it showed. I you know, I'm hoping this is just kind of like another bump in the road. This is the Spurs. I'm not going to count them out until Duncan hangs it up or Pop leaves. But it was very underachieving season.
So as we look to the future, Jeff, I mean, what's going to be the number one priority in the offseason for the San Antonio Spurs?
Well, the first domino to fall is going to be, what is Manu and Tim Duncan going to do?
When are we going to find that out?
Well, we don't know. There's been, you know, Duncan's been very, very, very quiet about it. No word. Not even his best friend, former Spur and former NBA player Antonio Daniels, who now resides here, he says on local media here that he doesn't even know. But for all intents and purposes, it looks like he's going to come back. He looked phenomenal. He was the most consistent Spur throughout the season. He was probably the healthiest of all the core, the big three. So that's going to be the first domino to fall. What is Manu and Timmy going to do? As far as Manu's concerned, that's the one thing that a lot of Spurs fans are bracing themselves. I personally think that he should retire. He's just not looking the same anymore, and maybe that may be selfish, and I'm not discounting what he's done for the franchise, but that would definitely free up some cap space to go after a big free agent. But even he himself said during the season with the Argentinian press that it's not the same anymore physically. The mind is there. The body is just weak. He openly admits that he can't recover fast anymore. These aches and pains don't seem to go away as fast. They linger. He's a big-time family man. You know, that may sway him. He's not playing for Team Argentina this summer in Mexico for the Rio Games qualifying event. So that may weigh into his decision. But personally, I think TD will come back. I just don't know with Manu. I really, really don't know.
Okay, Project Spurs NBA blogger, he does it all. That is Jeff Garcia joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Remember, on Friday nights, hey, weekends always start early. Reach out to our audience, Jeff, and tell them where they can connect with you.
Yeah, definitely on Twitter. You can find me at Jeff Garcia PS. And, of course, go to ProjectSpurs.com and read up everything you want to know about the Spurs, including the offseason.
Okay, so how many free agents should the Spurs, should they keep? I mean, are we looking at a lot of fresh new faces on this roster when we enter into the 2015 season?
There might be a handful of them. I you know, Danny Green will probably be the first big free agent from the Spurs side to be heavily courted. And New York is reportedly after him. They're going to offer him a hefty sum. He is from New York. He's from the Queens area. So I would not be surprised if he were to leave. Marco Bellinelli recently said that his priority is to come back to San Antonio. There's rumblings that Corey Joseph may be looking elsewhere to get that more minutes, more heavier rotation spot on the squad, for any squad, that is. And of course, Aaron Baines, you know, he definitely is playing with Team Australia this summer, but he's on the record saying that he's going to let the business side of the NBA take over, and wherever the wind takes him, that's where he goes. So you're going to probably see a lot more freshers, but the big question now is LaMarcus Aldridge actually going to come to San Antonio?
Come on, answer that question for me, Jeff.
Yeah, that is a question right now. Reportedly, the Spurs are on the top spot of his favorite destination to go. He is a native Texan. He went to University of Texas in Austin. Who knows, maybe Corey Joseph, you know, if he comes back, that may be a connection there, because Corey Joseph is a former Longhorn as well. He loves Pop. You know, if he comes to San Antonio, and if he does, and there's a good shot that he might now, then watch out NBA. I mean, imagine having seeing Duncan and LaMarcus out there on the court walking in, and then a splitter, you know, probably be a casualty in all this. He would probably have to go, some sort of sign and trade. But, I mean, that's an upgrade right there, in my opinion. You know, Splitter, who often battles injuries, versus LaMarcus Aldridge, who has been healthier in the recent stage of his career. So that's a good sign. But, you know, there's also rumblings about Marcus Gasol. Marcus Gasol recently paid a compliment to San Antonio, saying they have a well-run franchise. And, of course, Spurs fans in San Antonio went ballistic, saying, oh, this is a sign, he's coming, he's going to come. I just don't see him leaving Memphis. I don't see that happening whatsoever. LaMarcus Aldridge, yes, you know, maybe he doesn't fit in Portland anymore. He needs a fresh start. San Antonio would be a good destination. And, you know, what a way to pick up some finer points than from Tim Duncan himself, teaching him more about what it is to be a quality big man in the NBA. Personally, I think it's about a 70% chance that he does come.
Well, you talk about and you highlight in the rumor mill with LaMarcus Aldridge and Marc Gasol, but you can see why these players are intrigued with the Spurs. I mean, to have the opportunity to play for someone like Greg Popovich, I mean, that's tremendous, especially at this point in their careers. They want to come out on top and have a legitimate shot.
And to play with a young up-and-coming player like Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, when are they going to lock him up to a max contract?
Oh, they better. I think everything's going to hinge on what TD and Manu do.
Would you build the franchise around
him? Let me rephrase that. I think, yeah, they're going to lock him up. I'm pretty sure they're going to do it, and it's just a matter of time. The longer this takes, the more it makes me think, well, maybe they're negotiating with him to try to do some fancy numbering, fancy contract, where maybe they can bring in a LaMarcus Aldridge and woo him with more money. Maybe backload the contract for Kawhi Leonard and say, look, we're going to give you max money, but let's just spread it out in longer term so we can bring in a guy to help you and get another championship under your belt and a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. Spurs are known to do that. You know, look at David Robinson. He left money on the table. He restructured his contract to bring in free agents. Tim Duncan has done the same. He left money on the table. He restructured his contract. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, I don't blame him if he says no, you know, because that's a lot of money, but you know, knowing Pop, R.C. Buford, the brass out here in San Antonio, they'll figure a way out to keep them in black and silver and hopefully get that, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge in black and silver, because that would be tremendous.
What is your belief in Kawhi Leonard? I mean, would you build your franchise around him and, like we're talking about, give him sign him to a max deal?
You know what? Somebody asked me that question at the beginning of this season, and I said no. When you look at him, you don't see franchise tag player. You don't see that. But as the season went on and I just saw how important he is to the system and how important he is on the court defensively and offensively, I started leaning to him. Yeah, maybe. What NBA player, I mean, there are a few of them, but he's ranked right up there as far as being a two-way nightmare for opposing teams. He offensively, he can knock down the three, he can slash, he's become more aggressive going to the rim, he finishes with authority. He's starting to work on his mid-range game, and that's improving. And then defensively, he can single-handedly cover LeBron James. And I'm pretty sure you've seen it, or our Spurs fans seen the video of when James was with Miami and at the free throw line, and he sees Kawhi Leonard checking in, and he creates an expletive. He says an expletive, in other words, saying like, oh, no, he's coming in. So, you know, when you can strike that fear in a LeBron James type, you know, that's a good sign. But, yeah, he's a great piece. Let's put it this way. I would call him a great foundation to build another championship run. He is a great foundation.
Well said. Hey, exciting times for the San Antonio Spurs, and always a pleasure to have with us right here at YSR, the Biggie Sports Show, Jeff Garcia, Project Spurs, ProjectSpurs.com. Does a great job as an NBA blogger. Always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one at YSR. Here we go. The NBA Finals, they are finally underway after that extended 8-day break. So we've got some big NBA news and notes to discuss, especially with all of these coaching changes. It just seems like college coaches, they are now in high demand. They are wanted by the NBA. We've got, Billy Donovan, now the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. We've talked a lot about that over the past couple of weeks. Of course, the latest news, Chicago Bulls with the hiring of Fred Hoiberg, and that's a hot topic. Now you've got two college coaches hoping to see that perhaps they will be able to lead their teams to the promised land. I'm very anxious to get some perspective from our next guest. That is Lee Klein from Slam Magazine, and he is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. What does Lee Klein do on a Friday night?
Well, if it's basketball season, we got basketball being played, it's thinking basketball, and if it's if we're lucky enough, we're teaching kids how to play as well during, you know, once we hit our camp time. So that's pretty much a lot of my Friday night. And excited, you know, excited that the NBA Finals are here.
Yes.
And that we're going to crown a team that hasn't won the championship in a very long time, if ever.
Well, I want to get into some of these new hires, but let me digress for just a moment. I mean, who do you see ultimately will come out on top? Let me pick your brain, Lee.
I still go by who's been there, who's able, who knows what it takes to win a series like this, and that's LeBron James. So perhaps outmanned or not quite as deep a team, I still think in the end they've got, you know, the best guy. When you get the best player and he knows how to do it, it's hard to root against them or pick against them. So I think it's Cleveland's series to lose, the Cavaliers, in a full seven.
So, Lee, if the Cavs do come up short, I mean, how much will that impact LeBron's legacy, or will it?
At this point, being five straight finals, I don't think his legacy, you know, his legacy is somewhat secure as one of the best ever. Will he be, quote-unquote, the champion in the ilk of the game's greatest champions, guys like Bill Russell and Michael Jordan, guys that seem to win it just about every time that they suited up for it? Maybe not, but I don't think that's going to matter when we look back on his career a long time from now. We see everything that he's accomplished. So I don't think he needs it to justify his greatness. I think he wants it because that's the type of competitor he is, and wants also, because he's a great teammate, he wants to give that experience to those that have never experienced it as well.
The familiar voice, Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine, owner and operates the five-star basketball camps. That's going to be getting underway here in the month of June. We're getting his perspective, NBA Finals. Let's shift gears. Let's talk about these college coaches. As I said in the open, I mean, they are in high demand. Why are college coaches now, once considered, in the past they were considered risky hires, now they're more attractive?
Well, I think there's a few factors. I think, one, there was always a situation where the NBA didn't feel it could woo the college coach to make the jump, because college basketball was a lighter season with more job security that could pay the equivalent amount of money. But as college basketball has changed now, where it's no longer really, as your administrators change and job security is not what it was, and it's not as much the basketball job as it used to be, because you have to raise money and be the face of the school and the program, it's really evolved. So now I think coaches are more interested in making the jump than ever before. So the NBA now is a viable, is really a viable option, and coaches are willing to listen, not just because the money, but because it's about pure basketball there. It's the business of basketball. Mm-hmm. It's not under, you don't have to deal with administrators. You don't have to deal with classes, recruiting. It's a lot different in that regard. The second piece of the puzzle is the NBA. Every NBA team is looking for a leader. Every NBA team is looking for a voice that could get kids to play, to get these professionals to play hard and play together. Can you get them to buy in? So, in many cases, they're looking for new leaders. Cleveland turned to David Blatt. That's worked out very well. And sometimes, we've seen is now some of the best leaders are in college basketball. And so NBA organizations are turning to them. They're more interested in listening. And we will see how things turn to be very cyclical. You'll get a retread phase where guys will hire guys that were once fired. You'll have the college phase now. If they're successful, more people will go that route. If Donovan and Hoiberg struggle, then the opportunity for future college coaches will be less and less thereafter.
So, Lee, if David Blatt, of course, the coach from Europe, I mean, he wins it all, are we going to anticipate seeing some of these guys from overseas looking more attractive than they may go that direction as far as with some of the hirings?
Well, I think David Blatt's a little bit of a different situation, being being an American coach that has had a history of success as a player, and so here in the U.S., and then having great, incredible international success in Italy, coaching, and then, of course, the national team in Russia and so on. But I do think that we've seen a lot of things change. We've seen now Becky Hammon be an assistant coach for the Spurs. Mm-hmm. We've seen now, I believe, the Spanish coach, Coach Messina, is now an assistant coach in the NBA. So the NBA truly is a global, diverse game, and it's been that way looking for player talent. And now we're seeing it go that direction for coaching talent. So the NBA, in many ways, is a leader amongst all the professional sports leagues in looking for, you know, different sources of talent.
Lee Klein is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And I want to back up for a moment. We highlighted, we were talking about Billy Donovan, Fred Hoiberg. Were you surprised to see Hoiberg make that crossover? I mean, gosh, he's had some health concerns. He just had open-heart surgery. I mean, we talk about the burnout rate for with coaches in the NBA. The demands are very high. I mean, how do you think he's going to be able to handle all that?
I mean, I think he'll handle it fine because he's, you know, he was a very successful pro player, and I think he knows what he's getting into. Everyone wants to be the best in your profession. This is the best basketball. You want to show that you could do it on that level. And administrative-wise, he's got a great relationship with Gar Foreman, and that's an important part. You know, who are you working for? Do those guys have your back? And if you feel that you have that right relationship, then it's worth taking the jump and see, can you take your career and sort of take it to a whole other level?
Well, Donovan and Hoiberg, I mean, these are guys that are taking over teams that are accustomed to winning. I mean, they've got great situations. It's not like, as we've talked about in the past, it's not a Denver job, it's not Orlando. So the bar's set high, and I'm anticipating great results. Hey, Lee Klein has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Look forward to catching up with you next week, okay, Lee?
My pleasure.
Okay, enjoy the finals. Much more straight ahead tonight here in Hour 1. Stay close.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.